This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stugatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome in to another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate and review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. By doing that, you have made us the biggest podcast on the planet. We appreciate it. Bigger than Oprah. How about that? We are going to have Mike Tolan on. He is the founder of Slam Ball, a sport that me and Mikey A love. But he is not just the founder of Slam Ball. He is the man who saved all of us, this entire country, a true patriot. He is the man who rushed production on The Last Dance during the pandemic and got it out 5 to 6 weeks earlier than it should have been released. He saved the pandemic. He saved me. He saved Mikey A. He saved the entire country. This is a true patriot, and we are thrilled to be having him on, Mikey A.
I wonder how much the fact that it was released during the pandemic just upped his viewership and upped the criticism. I wonder if he just released it like he was supposed to, if it would have been as big and as criticized as it was.
It was going to be big regardless. It's the documentary on Jordan on those Bulls teams. So it was going to get big numbers regardless because people are interested in all things Michael Jordan. But to your point, you do it at a time where no one can go outside. Nobody's allowed to go to work. Everyone is home and they're going to be home for a while. They knew it. He knew it. And he seized the opportunity, which is exactly what he should have done. It was that and Tiger King. I mean, those two things were the big things during the pandemic. You couldn't buy free weights, but man, you can get a great story on Michael Jordan or a crazy guy who owned Tigers. It was nuts.
The only thing we could do during, especially the beginning part of the pandemic, was watch TV and complain about it online.
Yes.
That's the only things we could do.
Yes. And then he gave us this wonderful documentary, wonderful documentary. But he's also given us this wonderful sport that had, and they just launched a 2-year deal with ESPN, a partnership, because play-by-play is all that matters. It doesn't matter what the sport is, just live sporting events is what matters now. And I'm not certain ESPN is doing this incorrectly. In fact, I would guess they're doing this exactly the way they should be doing it, just airing play-by-play. Just grabbing all the rights to every single sport, air it live, let people gamble on it.
Especially if you can bet on it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I love Slam Ball. It got over 200 million views on social media. I've talked about it on the show with Jess. It's a fun sport. It's a fun viewing sport. It's fun to watch. And like any sport, it's great to gamble on.
How much would you pay to watch me play Slam Ball?
A lot. In fact, who is the person you would most want to see play Slam Ball? Can you describe Slam Ball to the audience so they understand what it is we're talking about here?
It's essentially rough basketball with trampolines. Like, I that's the only way I can sort of describe it. Like, you're going to jump very high and very hard, and people are going to get in your way. So there's like this mix of hockey and basketball and even probably a little football in there. But I'm just wondering if I could actually bounce on a trampoline at this point, or do I just sink to the bottom and I'm standing on the floor with the trampoline just sort of.
So it's sagging. It's not your standard size trampoline, right? It's a smaller.
No, the court actually has trampolines. I think there's like four or five around.
So you are asking the question about yourself that you want me to answer. Hey, if I jumped on a trampoline, would I go up or would the trampoline go down?
Pretty much.
Well, what do you think?
I don't want to find out.
I do.
Pay me.
I'll bet you it does. I'll bet you you're not going up. If you can make yourself go up, then you'll win some money.
You pay me enough, I'll get up.
What goes down stays down. Does that make sense?
Sure.
You jump up and then you go down and then you stay down. That's what, you know what I'm saying. What goes
Who
up
else would you
down.
Like to see? Who else would you like to see play Slam Ball? That's fun.
Oh, man. It's a great question.
Whether it be for comedic purposes or for actual, like, you know, watching some of the best athletes play.
I would like, I'll go that
Levitard?
Way. Oh, Levitard has no shot. I mean, and that trampoline.
Me, Levitard, and Chris Cody on a team.
Chris Cody would be good at it. He's a good athlete.
I'm sure he would.
Good athlete. Yes.
I'm sure he is, yeah.
Trampoline down for you. Trampoline down for Levitard. Cody's not there yet. I think he still goes up.
You just see the top of our heads.
I'd like to play slam ball with Levitard's head as the ball. I can say
personal.
It.
Yeah. Sounds personal.
I loved it. Oh my God. The problem is I'm not certain if he loves me. So here's the deal. Mike Tolan's going to join us. We'll talk slam ball. They just announced an exciting new partnership. And also we'll talk The Last Dance because this guy did save us during the pandemic. He has quite the impressive movie resume, producer, director. He's done a lot of big sports docs. He's done a lot of big movies. And he is also the co-founder of a sport that Mike EA and I love. It is called Slam Ball. Let's get to the owner, Mike Tolan, right now. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most, a light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
Mike Tolan's going to join us. He was the savior of the pandemic. We will get to that in just a second. That's what me and Mikey A have been calling you, Mike Tolan. Are you comfortable with that?
No, man. No, that's way too heavy a burden to carry around. Sorry. It takes a village, man. You got to count a couple dozen other names if you're going to put the last dance as saving the pandemic. But
well, it's you and Tiger King, and that's about it, okay?
Oh, no.
Mike Tolan wants nothing to do with that. Slam ball, the fast-paced, gravity-defying sport that combines elements of basketball, football, hockey, and trampoline, announced an exclusive 2-year national broadcast partnership with ESPN for 23 and 2024. Two seasons. Very exciting. We have talked about it on our show. Mikey A and I are both fans of it. Mike, how'd you get involved with Slam Ball? And congratulations on the partnership.
Thank you. It's only been since the previous century. Talk about, like, you know, the patron saint of second chances. So Mason Gordon, a very talented producer and a very good basketball player who, you know, secretly I tell him that I only hired him because he elevated our backyard 4-on-4 basketball game. Right. So he comes in with a napkin one day with this crazy, weird, primitive drawing on it. Like, dude, I had this fever dream and I'm imagining trampolines embedded in a basketball court. And I'm like, all right, dude, I'm going to go make a movie now in Carolina. I'll be back in 3 months. I come back from, I think it was summer catch. And that's how long ago it was. And he's still there with the napkin. So we said, all right, let's do a demo. We put it on its feet. We had a little tape. We went to the new Spike Network and they were looking for a signature sport. And they bought it and we did 2 years and it was cool and people loved it. And it was kind of like a late night stoner show that people would watch, right? I see Mikey shaking his head. And
yep,
so
we both are. Yep.
All right, cool. But so the dream
it's
was
like Hawaii football. I mean,
right. But now you can bet on it. So it's a whole other level of engagement, right? But so now, you know, we were lucky enough to create a lot of shows and movies and docs and all. Like, the dream was to create a sport, and that was not really a sport. It was a TV show in which it felt like sort of a packaged sport, but like, we're waiting. We sent it to China. We wandered in the wilderness. And like, during the pandemic, well, I guess we were saving the day for you guys.
You were.
Meanwhile, a lot of people were going on social media and trading these highlights from this crazy game that was now basically dormant. And all of a sudden, there's a hashtag bring back Slam Ball that's got 500 million views or something. So here we go. We just sort of said, maybe it's time. Maybe the universe is speaking loud and clear. And, you know, we went out to the investment community and we went out to the media community and like got a really resounding response. And 2 nights away, man, you could see it behind me. We're looking live Friday night from the Cox Pavilion in Las Vegas, Nevada, where it'll be 115 degrees outside.
So you might as well be inside, right?
Right, exactly.
Mike, I'm looking at that setup behind you, and I'm just wondering how much of this was born from a bunch of white guys that wanted to dunk.
Good question.
Really great question. Really from one white guy who could dunk. And with all due respect, Mason was a dunker, and like, he's got the video queued up for Friday night when we talk about the founder and people assume that he's like, look, check me out, man, I can dunk. He was a pretty good basketball player. The thing though, Mike, is that the guys who are playing it have all been like, you know, D1 players. They're playing overseas, like, they just missed, you know, they're kind of tweeners, right? But they have the attitude, they have the the desire, the hunger. It's like, you know, the guys who just miss and have been out there doing their thing, but not really, you know, it's kind of like a Pat Bev, right? How long was he, you know, banished to overseas, and he comes back with that ferocity. I look at the NBA and I go, the guys who would kill in slam ball are guys like Pat Bev and Westbrook. When Russell's done with his $43 million a year, he's coming right to slam ball.
But he's making $43 million a year. He doesn't need slam ball.
No, but he does for his competitive desires. Yes. Like AI, 20 years ago, when AI stood for Allen Iverson and not artificial intelligence, don't you feel bad for the answer? Like, he's been obliterated. When you go Google AI now, it's not him anymore.
I know.
But those are the guys. So Russell will buy a team and he'll want to be a player owner. It's going to be awesome.
So, Mike, like, what sold you on it? What was the final thing? Because originally you said your friend came in, you had a movie to go make, you left him alone, he sat there with a piece of paper. What ultimately sold Mike Tolan on, hey, this is a good idea?
We did a demo. It looked cool. And ultimately, you know, I buy into passion, because that's the only way I can get excited about this show. It's so damn hard. You guys know that the arena, the sports media landscape, is so competitive, and it's so hard to actually get traction. So you basically have to love something enough to be willing to get your head bashed in repeatedly. And I saw Mason's passion, and I, you know, dreaming a dream, like, we could actually create a sport. And it was, you know, it's not like it didn't work. The ratings were good. Spike wanted it. They wanted to renew it. It worked in China, the greatest out of town triad of all time. Let's just go to the other side of the world. So, I look, we sometimes take 10, 15 years to get a movie off the ground from the time we buy the rights or write the script. I love Mason. I believe in his passion. I ultimately shared it. And when I saw that we're in a world where live sports is like the only thing getting ratings, right? You know, except in a time shifted universe. And I always say, I get tired of saying it, but it's true. Like, it's the only water cooler culture left is live sports. Right? You can't talk about, I love The Bear, right? But like, I've seen 3 episodes and my daughter's only seen the first one, so I can't talk to her about it. But if you, in sports, you've got to watch the game the night before. You're all talking about it the next day. So when I saw that, you know, ESPN was going to present this thing as a live sports with standings, with stats, you know, people choosing their favorite teams. Like, we're actually inventing stats. I mean, that's the thing too. Like, this is talk about a dream come true. It's like, instead of rebounds, we have LBRs, which stands for loose balls retrieved, right? Because the ball's kind of bounce crazy off the champ. So like, we're going to have live box scores as the games are going, as you're betting on it. Hopefully people are buying the swag. One of the investors in Slam Ball is Michael Rubin, who runs Fanatics. So, you know, we just kept going. And, you know, the people started giving us the responses, and we're ready to bring it.
Mike, you mentioned how it was this stoner mentality. I remember watching it, you know, back in 2002, 2003, around that time. And what's different this time? Why is it going to work this time more than it did then?
Well, for all the reasons I just said, Mike, that it's, you know, A, you can bet on it. B, it's real. And, like, you can hopefully fall in love with this guy, Bryce, and fall in love with, you know, Coach Carter, the original Ken Carter, who was played by Sam Jackson in the movie back then, is back to coach the Rumble. An early season favorite. I just saw the posted lines. The Rumble is a 3-1 favorite to win it all. So the games are short. They're half hour games. So if you tune in ESPN at 7 o'clock on Friday night, you will see a 2-hour block in which the Rumble plays the Mob, and then 2 other teams play, and then the 2 winners play in sort of like a little mini tournament. Right. So I think it's just going to feel more authentic. We're going to have great broadcasters. We're going to have guys, you know, from football and basketball, ex NBA slam dunk champions, ex NFL superstars. So credibility, authenticity, and just incredible action that you can't see anywhere else.
I think Mike, both Mikes, I think Mike Tolan hit on it from this regard, and he's had a great, great career and a very impressive resume, and we'll get to that in just a second. But ESPN has clearly shifted to play-by-play, and you're right. It's the thing that's kind of free. You have – it's appointment – it's the only thing we have left in America, appointment viewing. That and The Last Dance. Okay, which we'll get to in a second, all right? It's appointment viewing. You cannot watch the game the next day, otherwise social media will ruin it. And, Mike, my guess is you saw that opportunity on the worldwide leader in sports and said, yeah, let's go.
Let's go, yes. And yeah. I give Jimmy Pitaro great credit for investing in us and believing in us. Look, you know, you see what how rights are escalating, and obviously he's in at the highest level. He's got, you know, many of the premier events. So, you know, I think he's just taking a shot with us, investing in us. I was there way back when in 1982 leading to 83 in this fledgling spring football league called the USFL, the original USFL.
Yes.
And in retrospect, if we had hitched our wagons to this fledgling little cable network called ESPN that was only in its fourth or fifth year, but and if a certain real estate baron from New York City hadn't gotten in the way and killed the league, might still have been going, and they wouldn't have had to like bring it back after a 20-year hiatus.
That's the power of that brand, that network, and of ESPN. Can you imagine a couple idiots leaving that network? I mean,
no comment.
Well played. Go ahead, Mikey.
Can't get into that.
I'm gonna do my best Stugatz question here. So if every player from every sport became available and you could draft any four you wanted to come play slam ball and only slam ball, which four are you taking?
Westbrook.
Well, I already told you Westbrook. I got to take Jalen because I'm a Philly guy, and like his work ethic and his determination and how like he'd be, because you really have to figure out strategy in this sport. Bryce Harper again, Philly, but like who works harder and who's more intense than Bryce? I got to disqualify myself from a hockey guy because I'm not there. So that's my big three.
Okay. The time that Philadelphia sports made you feel the worst.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, okay Stugatz, this is really aging myself.
I'm a Jet fan, Mike. So I mean, I know how it feels. Okay.
There's so many candidates for that, though.
I know.
So, like, I'm going to give you one before you guys were alive. Sorry, I'm going to date myself. Whatever.
That's all right.
I was 8 years old. The 64 Phillies had a 6.5 game lead with 12 to play. My dad brought home World Series tickets. We're going to the World Series. It's unbelievable. Richie Allen is Rookie of the Year, my boyhood hero. All we got to do is just, like, hang in there. We lose game after game. I'm listening on the transistor radio every night, grind myself to sleep as a little kid. We lost 10 in a row. We finished one game out behind the Cardinals, and like it took us another 2 decades to get there. So
that is coming from a man who just watched his Sixers lose to the Celtics. I mean, that's amazing.
Watch them in person at the TD Garden. Yes, the Sixer disappointments were just every year, you know, losing to Russell, right? But like now, I get to relive that watching the Wilt. The Wilt documentary, right? Finally, we won. That was the only title I had as a kid. There's so many. I mean, I went to every Super Bowl. So, you know, I had the walk of shame in Jacksonville after Donovan threw up in the backfield and we didn't get that last drive that could have beaten the Patriots the first time. But, you know, to have an 18-year-old son with me in Minneapolis watching Nick Foles out-duel Tom Brady and maybe the greatest Super Bowl ever. Oh, man. You know,
we're all rooting for Philly that night.
That's the guy Brady can't beat, Nick Foles. What a weird
Nick
sport.
Foles. You know, there's a statue of Nick Foles in Philly. How about that? There really
shouldn't be, though, and you know that.
I mean, Why not? Look at the
There should only be one statue, and it's Rocky. That's it.
Okay, fair enough.
Fair enough, he says. You're conceding that easily, huh?
Whatever, I know. I've seen the trophy sitting there at the Art Museum. But so, yeah, just in the last year, I went to all 6 World Series games and watched us lose on the Alvarez homer that's still going, I think, in Houston. Then I went to the Super Bowl and watched us lose on that ridiculous interference call in the last minute against the Chiefs. Then went to TD Garden and watched us lose in Game 7. And we just keep coming back for more. Glutton for punishment.
Where does Mike Golic fall in terms of your top 100 Philadelphia athletes of all time? Is Golic anywhere on that list?
No, he's not. Sorry, Mike.
What?
Sorry. I got nothing. I mean, there's he's way behind Bill Burgi. He's way behind Reggie White. Come on, man. It's a long list. Harold Carmichael.
Mike tells us stories all the time on God Bless Football that his job was to not get into Reggie White's way.
I
mean, that was
right. I get it.
It's just Mike, stand up. Okay? Don't move. Mike, your career, it's as I mentioned earlier, super impressive resume, but it seemed like you started off back in college, like you wanted to be a sports broadcaster. You love sports, clearly. And somehow you turned into this guy that's making massive, big sports documentaries. How did that shift happen? Like, when did you realize broadcasting is not the thing? This is what I want to do.
I'm guessing your listeners have been realizing it for the last 20 minutes that maybe it was a good idea to shift out of broadcasting. No, I mean, like, that was just a lark. I mean, you guys are so damn lucky. I've never had more fun than we were doing the Stanford basketball games. Me and my three best buddies, who are still my best buddies. We go to Palo Alto and we get, you know, the local restaurants and men's stores to give us checks so that we could fly to LA and fly to Oregon and fly to Washington. We did these games. It was a blast, but, it never really seemed like I had that, whatever that is, whatever you guys got. So I was lucky enough to come back to Philly and intern for, $140 a week plus gas money. So I think if you do the math, it was $20 in gas. So I was making $160 for an 80-hour week. Easy math, $2 an hour. I'm living large. So that was Greatest Sports Legends. Again, before you guys were born. And we did half-hour highlight shows, and Tom Seaver was the host. And we'd bring on Ted Williams and bring on Will Chamberlain and Pete Rose. And again, like, dream job. And then I decided that I had a problem with authority and I needed to start my own business. Did a little stint at Major League Baseball. Did the Phillies World Series film in 1980, did the baseball run with Johnny Bench, and then went out on my own and kind of got the rights to the USFL. And that was my first foray into, like, you know, sink or swim, you know, only yourself to impress. So it's been a 40 years of what I like to call gainful unemployment.
Slam Ball is back. Mike Tolan, the creator of Slam Ball, is with us. Two-year national broadcast partnership with ESPN. The next two seasons, it begins opening night as Slam Ball relaunches live from Vegas July 21st, 7 to 9 p.m. on ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPN+. For more information, check them out at slamballleague.com. What's the thing that you are proudest of on your resume, Mike?
I'll take one from fiction and one from documentary. Okay. Is that fair?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. The movie Radio, I directed it. I produced it. I spent 5 years with the writers. It led to a foundation being born. It led to a man in South Carolina living on the margins, having a life of dignity. Led to relationships with Deborah Winger and Cuba Gooding and Ned Harrison. Just a joy from beginning to end, and something I'm really proud of in terms of the values that it represents. On the doc side, I would probably go with Chasing the Dream, the Hank Aaron film, because similarly, Ted Turner came in and launched the foundation with us, and we've now given away, I don't know, $20 million in donations to kids, underserved kids who were chasing their own dreams. And Henry Aaron became like Uncle Hank to me, and got nominated for an Oscar, and there's an exhibit now in Cooperstown, the Chasing the Dream exhibit. It's just, you know, sort of the gifts that keep on giving in terms of how they resonate in the world and their impact. So really, really lucky to be able to do things like that.
Mike, of all the people you've worked with, Hank Aaron being one of them, Michael Jordan, of course, another, of all the people you've worked with or athletes that you've come across, which one did you find to be the most interesting?
Wow, that's a tough one. You should have prepped me with that one, Stu. That's
good. I'm sorry, man. I just figured it was Michael. I don't know, but maybe there's another answer.
Gotcha, journalism.
Yeah.
Yes. Michael's the most captivating because, as a credit to his partners, SD and Curtis, you know, they have really protected his aura. They've built this incredible empire. I mean, you could look at the stats. I mean, the shoe sales are like 10x or maybe 20x. Now from what it was during his career. And Michael has lived his private life had stayed out of the public eye by and large. I mean, commercials and all, but not appearances, not interviews. And so when he crazily said yes to doing this thing, everybody was just, you know, leaning in, right? Pandemic or not, you just couldn't wait to hear what he said. And it was so refreshing. And, you know, people say, well, how did you get him to say yes? Well, he, you know, right time, right place. He was just ready. It was 20 years or so after he played. He had a new wife. He had new kids, a new family. You know, I said to him, every day people come into my office wearing your shoes have never seen you play. And it's time. And I think he got that. It was kind of a legacy thing. So it just felt so real and authentic and from the heart. Jason Hare, the director, gets enormous credit for, you know, engineering the thing through the thick of the pandemic. And if there's one moment where we kind of knew this, that we had something, it was in the first interview, where it's still really early, where, you know, who knows how this is going to go. And Jason says, let's talk about the flying cocaine circus. Remember the craziness that went on with the Bulls in his rookie year. Now, Michael could have gotten up and walked out at that point, or could have just, you know, said, I don't know what you're talking about, or, you know, sloughed it off. But like, he slapped his knee, laughed so hard, and then he kind of recounted all of the debauchery in that room. And all of a sudden we realized he's in, you know, so 10 hours of really feeling like you're getting the authentic Michael Jordan, who, you know, remains the goat of all goats to me. It was a pretty great ride.
Mike, you kind of said it tongue in cheek about you being the savior of the pandemic, but I was
working on the radio.
Yeah.
Well, no, I wasn't saying it tongue in cheek. He was the savior of the pandemic. Yeah.
I was working in radio, and I remember, you know, coming in and trying to find something to talk about when there was nothing going on to talk about. And then the decision was made to actually move up when you guys were going to air the Jordan documentary. And I'm just curious, what went into that? What was your reaction when they told you, hey, we don't want to air this? I think it was supposed to be in the summer. We want to air it now.
Yeah. Again, you got to listen to the clamor. I mean, that was a much bigger clamor than the slam ball clamor, with all due respect, because LeBron James is posting to his 85 or however the followers, like, we need the Last Dance to be moved up. So they cancel March Madness. Adam postpones the NBA season. It's March. It's Friday the 13th, and the world is closing down, and we're looking at a first week of June premiere. There was an emergency call put together for that Monday, which I guess would be March 16th. And so we have Netflix, we have ESPN, we have the Jordan Group, and we have the NBA, and we have Mandalay Sports Media. So there's five separate constituencies all rushing just to make the June date, and all of a sudden we're moving it up 6 weeks because it's like you get in the huddle and you plan the strategy, then you walk to the line of scrimmage and you see, oh, I didn't expect that defense to be in place, so you call an audible. This is the greatest audible we could have ever imagined. So we basically just looked at where we are, which was honestly, like, out of 10 episodes, we were only close to done with five, and the other five were in various stages of, you know, color correction. Still some offline editing, a lot of offline editing still to come, sound mixing effects, you know, all the finishing touches, months and months ahead of us. So we said, when could we get episodes 9 and 10 done? We sort of back timed it to what would be 5 weeks out. And so then we moved it forward to when would be the first, you know, so we ended up moving it up 6 weeks or something. And again, to Jason's credit, we had five editors, and they each took their drives home to their respective outposts in the five boroughs of New York, and they're all cutting, and we're just like, you know, hoping this crazy jigsaw puzzle is going to come together with 10 different episodes, and it sort of worked. And again, it was a great team. It was pulled together amazingly. We got huge support. Michael, despite what you may hear, gave us total freedom. There was no Michael telling us to edit things out. I mean, once he decided he was in, he was fully in. So, you know, we didn't get to have that ride.
And he gave you guys final say, huh, Mike? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we were all, I mean, final say was a collective of all those entities. Sure. But yeah, it wasn't coming from him. You know, the only suggestions he made, honest to goodness, were things that we left out that he suggested, hey, maybe you missed the Indiana game after I came back, which was right before the double nickel game in the Garden.
Yeah.
Yep. Because the first game he came back, we showed he was just clanking, right? He was really rusty. And then the next thing he shows the double nickel game, and he said, there's a game in Indiana where I found my stroke, where I got my confidence back. And so Jason and the team went and found it. We put it in, and, like, great idea.
So Mikey, basically he called an audible. Like, he came out Friday the 13th, was like every other day that we've ever had in our entire lives. And then, you know, it was a 4-3 defense. And then Saturday the 14th, a wacky defense called the Pandemic. And they were like, everyone's home and they ain't going anywhere. Let's release the movie. Is that fair?
You got it. It's become my, like, prevailing philosophy of life. Just, like, look at the defense, man. Make sure, you know, you may be calling Omaha. You gotta assess the situation.
Is there a criticism that you've heard or read about The Last Dance that you would consider to be fair?
I've heard the criticism from, you know, people like Scotty and Horace and all, like, that I consider to be fair. Some people think it should be longer. People talk about what we left out. Okay, you know, Luke Longley's, you know, writing from Australia, and he's got his narrative. Look, Jason and I remember the day we were talking about episode 10. You know, we had blueprints, right? And we figured out what was going to be there. And he called me and said, dude, there's no way we're getting the Hall of Fame speech in. There's no way we're getting the Washington Wizards in. Like, we're going to barely get the celebration after the sixth title.
No one needs the Wizards, by the way.
If there was something, I forgot it, and happy to be moving on.
All right, we'll get back to Slam Ball in a second, but I'm wondering the project that you said no to that you now regret because it became a huge success.
I have to think about that too. See, these are all questions you give in advance, man, because
That's not how it works.
I'm kidding. There are a lot of projects that I didn't get that went elsewhere, projects that I said no to. I don't know, man, because we generate – it's not like people are coming to us with projects. For the most part, we're generating them ourselves. So it's really more for me to think about the projects that I said yes to, but the world has said no to me. Like, you know, I told you about my great hurt in 1964. Well, I'm now in year 25 on the Richie Allen project. So the world hasn't said yes. Well, Paramount actually said yes to a script deal. And so we were actually matriculating pretty well on that. And then the strike happened. But we do have a script popping, and we do hope to get Richie Allen in the Hall of Fame and have a happy ending. And hopefully that'll be the ultimate yes for me, is to get that script made.
And Mike, that Phillies team that you love so much with Mitch Williams and Morandini and Kruk, I believe. Like, there's a movie right there with those guys, I think. I don't know.
Yes. 93 Phillies. They were picked to finish last at won the pennant. I was in Toronto when Joe Carter hit the homer. I might have cried some tears there, to be honest with you. I take my teams very seriously, as you can tell. I have heard that Bill Giles, who was the owner of the team, pitched me that idea, Stu Gatz. And for many, many years, he finally gave up. So if you asked him, I guess, the project that somebody said no to. We're actually working on we're trying to put a baseball – you know, there are all these projects now where they're multi-team – universes, right? Like, starting with Drive to Survive, you know, there's a tennis one and a golf one and a surfing one and a Tour de France one. So we're working on a baseball one, which of course would close, where we can, you know, be focusing on six or so teams during the playoffs. It's a good year for baseball, right? Attendance is up, ratings are up, the games are so much quicker. You know, in my heart, really, I'm a baseball guy, I guess, really. From the jump, just because that was the family I grew up in, and my kid is working for a minor league baseball team in Colorado. So
either that team or the Philly Fanatic. I'm serious. I'm being dead serious. Like, I would be glued to a documentary about that mascot in particular.
Really? Okay, yes. Man. Let's put it in development. You'll be an executive producer.
Yes. I just throw out ideas. Mikey, yeah, get that together for him, okay?
Yeah, you got it. I'm on it.
Oh, God. Slam Ball is back.
The Slam Ball is back. Should come to Slam Ball, shouldn't he? That's what we should do, right?
I was going to ask you before I promote it again, do you need announcers? Because if you do, I'm there. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
Wow. it's a little late for this year, but you know, hopefully we're gonna have a lot of seasons upcoming, man.
Yes.
I got your number. Love okay. to have you.
I'm in. Vegas, slam ball, me and you, I'm in. Okay.
Okay, man. Okay. It's a date. I'll tell Skipper, we'll make the deal.
Okay, thank you. 2-year partnership with ESPN. Slam Ball is back this season and the 2024 season. Opening night relaunches live from Vegas on July 21st from 7 to 9 Eastern, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN+. You had over, I think, 200 million views
200 million.
On social media. Unbelievable. Unbelievable how popular this thing has become. SlamBallLeague.com. Is the website. Who is the greatest slam ball player of all time? Is there
his
one?
Nickname, yes. His nickname yep. is Shakes. His right. name is Stanley Fletcher. He is the unrivaled goat of slam ball. We used to say Stanley grew up on a planet where slam ball was the national sport. So he was playing it from the time he was three. And that's why he has these ridiculous moves that nobody else has been able to do. And the good news is Stanley is back coaching the slasher. So let's see, you know, that old thing, the great players don't make great coaches.
Yes.
Let's see if he can be an exception.
You're right. Billy Cunningham, though, was a pretty good coach, huh?
Yeah, not as good as a player. But here's a little trivia question. The 67 Sixers, the aforementioned, my only championship team as a kid,
yeah.
had what Hall of Famer who didn't make the starting lineup? Billy Cunningham sat on the bench behind Luke Jackson and Chet Walker in the front court.
Oh, my God. That's right.
I know. Crazy. Yeah. How Greer, Wally Jones.
You really are a Philly dork. You know that?
Thank you.
And I say that in the most loving way.
I've been called worse, dude. That's really.
Mike, we appreciate you saving the pandemic. We appreciate everything you have done. You are a true patriot, an American. Hey, that's what you are. You saved us, man. We needed something. You gave us something, man. It was great. All right.
I'm giving you something else. There it is behind us. It's coming live.
Promote it. Mike, go ahead and promote the hell out of it. You saved America. Go ahead. You deserve it.
Our 7 seconds are better than anybody else's. Tune in live, then watch the highlights. Go slam ball.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, this was a lot of fun. We appreciate it. Your work is fantastic. Slam ball is a lot of fun, and we'll be checking it out. And you're on the right path. People will watch anything that's live, that's play-by-play, and that they can bet on. Okay? That is it.
I love it, man. Let's keep rolling. Thanks,
right,
you guys.
Mike.
I enjoyed it. It's fun.
All right, we appreciate it. I look forward to being the voice of slam ball next year, too, by the way. Okay?
Just a matter of time.
All right. Mike, thank you
Take
so
care,
much.
Guys.
Good luck this year with and congratulations again on the new partnership with ESPN. That's awesome.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
it.
Good to be with you.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most, a light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.